So what do you tell your kid when they say, Mom, Dad, I'm gay, or I think I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body? We're going to have some critical conversations. Brand new book today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In a few minutes, I'm going to introduce to you author Tom Gilson, who's written a very important new book. I've read it carefully. I've given it my endorsement. You'll find it super, super practical. But first, a few important words on some other subjects. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Okay, number one, if you are listening to me in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, join me at 5 o'clock today. I only found out about this last night. 5 o'clock promptly, Central Baptist Church in Kannapolis, North Carolina. Rally with Senator Ted Cruz. I'll be giving a short, brief introduction. David and Jason Benham will be bringing a short word, and Senator Cruz will be speaking. It will start at 5 o'clock. In fact, I'm on at 5 to kick things off today. So please join me, Central Baptist Church, Kannapolis. It'll start at 5, so if you're able to be there, be there. All right, that's one thing. Another thing, my guest yesterday on the air, Theodore Shubat, had some very, very disturbing things to say. I knew he would say many of them, but still it was terribly disturbing for me to hear him say, for example, that the Orthodox Jewish man that on two occasions now stabbed people partaking taking part in an Israeli gay pride event in Jerusalem. He stabbed several people, was arrested, got out of jail, and went right back and stabbed again. The Theodore said he had, quote, no problem with that. No problem with that. And sung the praises of the Crusades and the Inquisition. Terribly grievous to hear that, especially in the name of Christianity. And of course, when I raised Scripture, Scripture was not the issue to him as much as, well, look at what this church leader said or that church leader said, however abhorrent the quote might be, because it was a church leader somehow that made it acceptable. And look, I believe in being a militant Christian. I believe that every follower of Jesus should be militant, militant against the devil, militant for the Lord, militant for love, militant for justice, militant for righteousness, militantly loving good, militantly hating evil. I also remind you of the words of Jesus, that the truly happy are those poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Truly happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Truly happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Truly happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Truly happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Truly happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Truly happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Yes, we'll be hated. Yes, we'll be rejected. Yes, we'll be persecuted. And to the extent we can work together to help the persecuted church, we ought to. And to the extent that we can cultivate a spirit or attitude that will not bow down to the world, we need to cultivate that. But in the strongest possible terms, I deplore and renounce the rhetoric that we heard on the show yesterday, as, of course, I deplored and renounced it through the show. We should have a full video of that. We videotaped on our end. Theodore Skyped, recorded on his end. We should have a whole video of that up within a couple of days. But here's what's amazing. Later in the show, in the second hour, we got a call from a woman who had come out of lesbianism through the loving witness of her sister, and her sister had been greatly equipped to reach her through my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And we heard how the truth spoken in love can transform lives. While we stand against the activist agenda, let's remember there are individuals who identify as LGBT for whom Jesus died that need a loving relationship from you to bring them to the truth. Let's be there for them. We come back. Tom Gilson, an important book, especially parents listening. Very important. You stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It happens without fail, without fail. Whenever I speak on issues having to do with homosexuality, as sometimes is the case when I'm out on the road, people ask me to address that. Without fail, there'll be a small line of people wanting to talk to me in particular. Oh, there's always a line of people. But on that line, a small number of people, they're crying. It's parents whose kid just came out as gay. The other day, it was a woman whose daughter now identifies as a boy. Someone just posted that before. A granddaughter on Facebook. They saw I was going to be talking about this issue today. Granddaughter, 15 years old, now identifies as a boy. The parents are going along with it. A sobbing wife, my husband. We're talking about people for whom Jesus died. And in particular, parents facing these issues all the time. The author of this new book is Tom Gilson. Tom is a friend and colleague. I've had the joy of working with him on a number of occasions. He's worked with campus ministries. He's worked with Chuck Colson's organization. He's a very practical thinker, full of compassion, who really hears the other side before he speaks. His new book, Critical Conversations, A Christian Parent's Guide to Discussing Homosexuality with Teens, Sean McDowell wrote the foreword. And in my endorsement, I said this: this is a book every Christian parent should read. Tom Gilson is a wise and masterful guide through an emotional and theological minefield full of wisdom and compassion, scripturally sound, and eminently practical. Critical Conversations fills a critically important void. Tom, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, my friend Michael, and thanks for that endorsement. It's great to be talking with you about this here today.
Yeah, when I knew you were writing the book, I was absolutely confident that it would be well written and that it would hit the mark, because I know you well enough. When I read it, I was not disappointed. In fact, I was thrilled with the content. So let's start here. You've been involved in apologetics, defense of the faith, addressing cultural issues, things like that. How is it that now you felt the need to write a book like this?
It starts with my interest has never been just apologetics, but it's been effectiveness in apologetics. And the question in effectiveness is, where can a person make the most difference? And maybe the answer, especially in ministry, where you can make the most difference, ties back to what you said earlier, is where are people crying the most tears?
Mm.
And parents are really confused. Teens are even more confused over an issue that really, if you have the opportunity, the time that I have had and the interactions to get me equipped for it, that the answers are there. It's just that the confusion clouds them. We need someone to clear that away, and it seemed like this would be a good opportunity for me to help at a place where it was really needed.
All right, let's ask a larger question. Often when we're doing apologetics or when we are addressing issues or problems that are around us, do you find that sometimes we fail to really hear what others are saying? In other words, we're so quick to give an answer that sometimes we don't really hear what the other person's saying?
Oh, actually, you just gave the title of my next book I want to write, which is working title is Too Quick to Answer.
Really?
The answer to your question, in other words, is yes. We need to respect the questions enough to hear them out. And questions are great. Jesus was a master at asking questions. He did it almost more than he gave answers by count. You could actually show that in the book of John in particular. So we need to listen. We need to know the answers, and we need to deliver them at the right time. But we've got to start by respecting the questions, which is another way of saying to respect the people who are asking them.
All right, so how can we respect the people who are asking the questions? And by the way, friends, if you've got a question, especially as a parent, you're trying to figure out how to address an issue, or maybe you're an educator, Give us a call today. Tom would love to take your questions. And, of course, get the book, Critical Conversations, Tom Gilson, G-I-L-S-O-N. So the number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Tom, sometimes people feel that if they respect the person asking the question, they're almost giving credence to the question or somehow affirming their position. How can we truly respect the question and the questioner without affirming the position?
Well, we can certainly give our, we don't have to wait forever to state our position. I don't have any problem with someone knowing that I'm a Christian. I've got biblical convictions. I've got traditional moral convictions. And if they disagree with that, they can say so, and I'll listen and hear them out. That's okay. And I want to, I expect them to respect my position enough to let me speak. But when I speak, I want to be able to speak in such a way that I'm not just spouting my opinion, but I'm answering their questions, which I have actually heard, in such a way that I can do what it says in 1 Peter 3:15, give an answer to those who ask. If I don't know their questions, how can I answer?
Yeah, and one thing I've seen with you, Tom, there's a gentleness of spirit, and you listen, but you listen critically. In other words, you're listening, but you're listening to see where there's a need or where there's a hole in the argument. And I think the bottom line is not that we go through the motions of nodding and yes when someone speaks, but if we really have the heart of God, we're going to care about other people. So the very first thing we need to do is be caring. Mm-hmm. Not just saying same-sex marriage is not marriage, not just saying we don't like this gay pride event in our city, which of course we say those things too, but from the heart saying we care about you as fellow human beings, neighbors, co-workers, family members for whom Jesus died.
That's right. God, in Jesus Christ, set the example. Marriage is good. He doesn't just say same-sex marriage is bad. Throughout the Bible and throughout all the good examples we have of it, real marriage is really good. And so the point of this debate is not to point people away from same-sex marriage. It's to point them toward the real thing because it's really good. And we need to keep that goodness in front of the people we're talking with.
All right. If you had to identify the most major errors, shortcomings, in your view, in terms of how we, the church, have handled the issue of homosexuality, where we've missed it, maybe in sincerity and zeal, but things that you think we may have done wrong, or specifically that parents have done wrong, what would you identify as the top one or two or three areas?
I would say one of them is that we have failed to love the gay and the lesbian, the transgender person among us. And there's been a lot of talk about that. I would like to see it continue. What we have not talked about enough that I would say just because others aren't saying it is that we haven't done enough study to understand the truth of God's word and why it's good and how to communicate it. In other words, there's homework to be done here. This is a complicated issue. It's an important issue. And I hate to say it, but parents, you've got to learn something about what's going on. I wrote the book to make that as easy as possible, to clear the way for it. But you're not going to do a good job of helping your teens through this if you don't do some homework. That would be my number two identified error that we've made, is that we just haven't done the study we need to do.
All right, so listen, friends, I can tell you this honestly, not just as a friend of Tom's wanting to promote his book, but he did the good research. He did look critically at the studies that are out there. He did examine if the biblical witness is clear. So he's undergirded the book with solid scholarship, and then he's made it easy and accessible. So again, the name of the book, Critical Conversations. The whole book is about conversations that you, the parents, can have with your teenagers. That's the focus group, teens, in caps in that book, teens, so that you can have conversations with them that will help bring them to the Lord, that will help them deal with the sexual romantic issues they're facing, that will help you state clearly what the Bible says and point them in a way that they can have hope and help. All right, Tom, let's start to unpack some of the specific questions that are in the book. I'm going to throw them at you. You give me the short answer, and they get the full answer in the book, Critical Conversations. If you'd like to ask my guest, Tom Gilson, a call, we'll take calls, as long as we can. We'll take them beyond the half-hour break and to the next half hour for those that can stay with us. 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why would he have to take on human flesh? If he is God in human flesh, then he cannot be a prophet. He's God, right? You can't be both. You can't be the messenger and the person who sent the message. You are either one or the other. You are either God or you are a prophet. You cannot be both.
Those are the words spoken forcefully of my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, dealing with our debate subject from a few years ago, who is the real kosher Jesus? Listen, friends, we've got an amazing resource package for you this week. My two-hour-plus debate on who is the real kosher Jesus, moderated by my friend Sid Roth. My DVD lecture at University of South Florida, along with Q&A, is Israel an evil occupier? So important to know and understand in light of where we find ourselves today in the world. And then a debate with a reform rabbi, liberal rabbi that barely even believes in God, about who is Jesus. That was wild. It's over 6 hours of material, normally $60 on DVD. We've cut the price in half, or you can even get digital download. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and take advantage of this. It's a super deal. These are great, great resources, and you will be blessed. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm speaking with Tom Gilson, author of the new book, Critical Conversations, specifically a Christian parent's guide to discussing homosexuality with teens. Tom, let's start here. Is the Bible clear on this subject? Maybe we've been mistranslating passages. Maybe our English versions are misleading. Maybe scholars are showing us today that the Bible does not oppose loving homosexual relations. Maybe that's what your kid finds out when they get online to search this out. Is the Bible clear?
The Bible is very clear. And the only question about its clarity has come from people who I think have got an axe to grind. There are people, and you've dealt with them in your writing, who say that we can't trust the plain language of the various passages that that call homosexual practice wrong. Sure, they make that claim, but that's a very recent claim by people who, I think, wanted to find it in there, which is a questionable principle of Bible interpretation, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely, to say the least. And in fact, that's a very gracious way of saying things. All right, your kid comes out. They don't say, "Mom, Dad, I love Jesus. I love the Word, but I'm struggling with same-sex attraction. I need help. Help me to deal with this." No, your kid sits you down, 15 years old, always had a close relationship with Mom and Dad, good church kid, and they drop the bomb. They say it the only way they know how to say it. "Mom, Dad, I'm gay. I want you to know I'm gay, and I believe God made me this way." Again, we've got a whole book that deals with these things, but give us some basic principles. What do you say? How do you approach it?
The first thing is that the parents have to have a really clear grip on two things, actually. One is their relationship with their child, and the other one is their knowledge of the truth. And they can't lose track of either one of those. They can't lose hold of it. So they need to have that well in mind and well established long before this. And then from there, the rest follows, really. You stay in relationship with your child. and you speak the truth in love. There's all kinds of other implications that could flow from that that depend on, you know, whether the teen is acting it out and whether the teen is comfortable with these things, what the teen believes. But it all starts with, does the parent know what the truth is? Can they explain it? Can they articulate it? And can they do it relationally?
All right, and that's what part one of your book deals with, essential background. How did we get here? What marriage is? Marriage and morality in the Bible. So can you be absolutely immovable in your biblical convictions and yet show love at the same time? Because the kid may tell you, why do you hate me? When you say, well, look, we love you, but the Bible says this, so we're not changing our view on Scripture. Why do you hate me? You're just a bunch of haters. I thought you were my parents and love me. What do you say?
The whole thing about us being haters is a rhetorical maneuver that's been put out there by the homosexual activists, and it's not true. The whole question, you know, of us being haters, it comes from the idea that we disagree with their moral stance. Well, they disagree with our moral stance and our opinion. So does that make them haters, or does that make the definition of hate wrong? I mean, their understanding of the definition of hate is mixed up, is what the answer is. So, do I hate my child? And this hasn't happened in my family, but you know, do I hate my child if he says I'm same-sex attracted and I say it's wrong? No, if I say that that's wrong, what I'm doing is I'm speaking the truth. And the truth is good. God gave us the truth in love. We can express it in love.
Yeah, and by the way, friends, the last, let me just see here. How many pages? Almost the last 100 pages deals with these issues. You're a hater. You're a homophobic. Why are you so intolerant? Why won't you just let us be? You're on the wrong side of history. Jesus never spoke out against homosexuality. I mean, a couple dozen or more of the most common objections coming up here. Let's grab a call before we have our half-hour break here. We'll go to Houston, Texas. Barbara, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. thank you so much for taking my call. I understand completely that the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin, and I understand completely how Christian people would want laws to prohibit homosexual marriage, but I do not understand how a person that's a citizen of the United States, where you don't have to be a Christian to be a citizen, how can we expect laws that would deny, like, certain tax breaks and visitation mm-hmm. rights and so forth because the homosexuals can't get married. I don't understand.
All
right. Got the question?
Yeah, very fair question. Tom, we've got about a minute before the break, but you're a master at concise answers. How would you respond?
I would say that it's not whether we're denying these breaks to people because they can't get married, because we're telling them they can't get married. We're telling them that that's not what marriage is. Marriage is a man and a woman in a certain kind of a covenant relationship, and it has always been that. And the reasons being given for same-sex couples to enter into that just don't stack up into enough to call it marriage. I don't have a disagreement with them having certain kinds of contractual relationships with each other, but it's not marriage.
Right, and again, the beginning of the book, Critical Conversations, Barbara, explains what marriage is. So the long and short, the only reason the government gets involved in marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society, namely producing children for the next generation and joining those children to their mother and father. So society conveys benefits on marriage for that reason. Only marriage the way God intended it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you're listening anywhere in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area, and you can be free in literally 2.5 hours, 5 o'clock, I'm going to kick off a rally for Senator Ted Cruz today that's going to be in Kannapolis. So it's a little bit north of Charlotte, I think off of exit 63 of Route 85. The Benham brothers will be speaking, will be bringing some short messages, and then Senator Cruz will be speaking. That's what the rally is about. It'll be at Central Baptist Church in Kannapolis at 5 promptly. If you show up at 7 o'clock, there will not be a rally going on, all right? So 5 o'clock, if you can make it. Maybe mom's picking up kids at school and can change plans a little, head over there. Maybe some others, moms, dads, singles, you can get out of work a little early and get over there. That'll be 5 o'clock. I'm speaking with Tom Gilson, his new book, Critical Conversations, which addresses how parents can sit and talk with their teenagers about homosexuality. Let's get another question for Tom Gilson. James in White Plains, New York, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this is a comment and wondering if you all, you know, have experience of this in your studies or in your either studies of what's going on with this problem or in the studies of the Bible. I really believe that these people's desires are not their true desires. These kids, I don't believe that those are their honest, you know, desires from within, and it's been almost like semi-programmed in them by our society. I don't know if this is, I feel this is something that doesn't want to be said, that these, that they always want to say that this is the way they were born. I believe a large percentage is influenced. Their desires are not their real desires. That's what I feel.
All right, what do you think of that, Tom?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah, thanks for the question, James. The research on this is very much still in progress, but it seems to be that for most people who are same-sex attracted, it's something they didn't choose. And is it their desire? That's another question. A lot of them say, I didn't choose this attraction, but I don't want it. So they would rather not have it. Now, there's a new thing coming down the pike, I think, too, though, which is that it is becoming, for some people in the younger generation, a lot like smoking was when I was a kid, a way to be cool, a way to rebel. I'm going to decide to be gay. And in that case, I think there probably are some who are choosing it, not because they're born with it, but because it's a way to be cool and somewhat rebellious. Those are the situations where I think in particular parents can step in and make a difference by guiding the kid in the right direction and to the right friends and so on.
Yeah, and the other thing to add in, James, is absolutely there is an aggressive brainwashing going on in the society. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, there's a constant flood of media celebrating homosexuality, celebrating transgenderism, showing this as cool. Hey, this is who you are. Identify, take hold of it.
Because in the Bible, what I remember from the reading sections of the Bible, they'd be saying that there were certain generations, because of their practices, all the men became sort of effeminate and messed up, and then they lost their power, and they were punished or taken over, basically, because of these bad practices. Like, they followed some strange practices, and then they were, you know, kind of wiped out. Basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, right, it's not quite the way that you related it there, but yes, there are times when people will take on Israel would take on the practices of the nations surrounding them, which often included idolatry and sexual immorality, and that led to a destruction of a generation. But I think it's three things. First, as Tom said, that many people, as long as they can remember, this is how they felt. They didn't ask for it. They don't want it. If they were Christian kids, they probably prayed against it. So to their mind, this is how I was born. Of course, all it means is once they started to feel these things, this is how they felt. Secondly, as Tom said, some announced the cool thing. How I'm going to rebel against the gender binary, and I'm going to go against my biological identity. And then third, there's the heavy brainwashing of the media. So these things do interplay. Thank you for the question.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking with Tom Gilson. His new book, Critical Conversations, it focuses on conversations that parents, Christian parents, can have with their teenagers about homosexuality. Let's grab another call for Tom. Caesar in East Windsor, New Jersey. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr.
Caesar.
Brown. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, we got a little background noise there. There we go. Okay.
I'm running into my car now. I just ran out real fast to get something. How are you,
all right,
sir?
We're good. Thanks.
I just wanted to give a testimony of something that just happened to me while I was at the gym, actually. I'm in my locker room, and I see a girl there, and I can tell because of her body. She was trying to hide her face, but I didn't say anything at first, sir, and I went to work out anyways. I had to cut my workout. Bottom line is I cut my workout short because I felt my heart beating, and I felt the Lord tugging me to go and say something to her. I didn't know what to say, but I trusted the Lord to provide the words, and I went back in the locker room when I saw her going in there with her brother. I asked her if she was aware that this was the male locker room, and they said, yeah. The brother did the talking. She stayed quiet. I came to them politely. You know, I said, look, I don't mean any offense by this. You know, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings or anything, but I stand by certain beliefs, and I said, because he said, we are men. I said, maybe you are, but she's not. And God didn't make a mistake with that. And he said, well, I'm not sure if you know it, but right here there's a transgender policy, so you can, even if, you know, if you're having a sex change, you're allowed to come into the male's locker room. And I said, I wasn't aware of that, first of all. And second of all, I said, here's the thing. If something like this is allowed, there's too many sickos in this world, Dr. Brown. Any man can say that he's getting a sex change and take advantage of this situation. I said, if I have a daughter and she's in the locker room and some guy goes in there and takes advantage because this is being allowed, all you do is put a little gap, Dr. Brown, and this is why we've gotten all the way over here, because of too many Christians that have stayed silent and don't speak when the Lord is telling them to speak. And we don't listen to the Holy Spirit when it's telling us to speak, Dr. Brown. But you know something? I've been praying to the Lord. I've been asking him to give me a heart for the Lord, to give me a heart and to help me see people through his eyes and not through my own eyes, Dr. Brown. And I experienced something incredible that day, Dr. Brown, because after I finished speaking to them, I ended up witnessing to them and speaking to them of the love of Jesus Christ. And they didn't, the brother was doing most of the talking. I gave them many examples, and I tried, and I listened to your show all the time. It was a long conversation. I'm going to take a lot of your time whole thing. But the bottom line was that I ended up telling them that Jesus Christ loved them, you know, and Jesus, I asked them if they found peace in that. And he said yes, but the girl didn't say anything. And I said, and I said, I found my peace and happiness in Christ. He said, well, there's many ways of finding happiness, he said. I said, perhaps, I said, but there's only one way of finding salvation for your soul, and that's through Jesus Christ. And right now, see, the way that I'm seeing where you're going, if I don't say anything, I'm held accountable for not saying anything. Yeah. I have to answer to the God that I believe in. And they said, well, what if he said, what if by you saying this, she goes and takes her life? I said, God forbid. God forbid. God knows my heart. And I'm not saying it because of this. I'm saying this because your soul's in danger with the way that you're going, I said. And he said, well, you know how many homosexuals take their lives? I said, look, with all due respect, do you know how many millions of my brothers and sisters are being slaughtered around the world right now for believing in the same Christ I'm talking to you about right now? I said, everybody.
And tell you what, Caesar. Yeah, let me just jump in, and I want to get Tom to weigh in as well. First, God bless you for obeying the prompting of the Spirit and doing something that would be uncomfortable, and God bless you for speaking the uncomfortable truth. Look, even if this gal really thinks she's a guy and she's confused and she means no harm in the guy's locker room, you're absolutely right. What about the sexual predator, the heterosexual predator, who's a voyeur, or he wants to take advantage of a girl, whatever. He just wants to be in the girl's locker room and see them come out of the shower or changing or whatever, and he's gonna put on a wig or he's going to put on a dress or makeup and just say, hey, I identify as a girl. And look, in New York, you can't even ask for any kind of proof. You know, there could be a $250,000 fine if you have an employee and Joe says he's Jane now and you call him Joe, you could be fined. And yes, the gospel is the answer. But Tom, aside from Caesar eloquently bringing us back to reality here, we're not just dealing with theory. A couple of questions for you. Okay. Number one, how do you respond to this idea that if you tell the person the truth about homosexuality, that young person is going to go kill themselves? You're going to steal any hope they have, and they're going to go hang themselves or some other horrific thing, a parent's absolute worst nightmare. How do you respond to that?
Well, excuse me. In the general terms, I think that the claim that homosexual kids are killing themselves in greater numbers than straight kids, I'm not sure that that's supported by research. And if it is, what does it say? It might be saying, in fact, that the lifestyle and the inclinations and so on really do cause distress. And it's not us. It's something that they're dealing with even before we come to them that's causing them that deep distress. Now, if a parent's going to be afraid of causing something like that kind of a suicidal response in their kids, they still have to speak the truth, but they have to speak it lovingly, carefully, and probably keep a close eye on the child. It needs to be done in a way that speaks the truth without condemnation is probably the key thing. We love you. We accept you. You're still part of our family. We don't think that what you're doing is right, and here are the reasons.
Yeah, and I think with it also, I raised the question, Tom, when I was at a forum with some guys advocating, quote, gay Christianity. I said, we didn't hear during the civil rights movement, during the days of segregation, we didn't hear about all these black kids in America hanging themselves because of their dire situation. Why are we always hearing about gay kids committing suicide at a higher rate than others? And one of the guys said, well, they weren't rejected by their own families. I thought, okay, that's a valid point. So if we, from the heart, cover that issue, and then, like you said, ask the question, hey, even in affirming places, affirming cities, affirming countries, where people can be out and proud and live their whole life among others out and proud, substance abuse is still higher, suicide rates are still higher, sexually transmitted diseases are still higher. In other words, God didn't make us for that, and therefore, they're coming out and it gets better and all that, it doesn't get that better that you still don't have these problems.
Right, that's right. And the number of sexual partners that, especially among homosexual men, the number of sexual partners that you find reported, even in their own research, is astonishingly high. It's tragically high. And what it's showing is that there's a lack there, there's a hole, there's a satisfaction that cannot actually be achieved because they're looking in the wrong place. So, yeah, there's pain there, and it's not pain that's just being caused because some people disagree with what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Caesar, thanks so much for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Tom, will your book help parents dealing with issues about transgender confusion, gender identity issues? Will your book help give foundations, responses in those areas as well?
I don't address that very much directly, and I don't think it's, and yet I don't think it's very different than the rest of what we're talking about, because the questions and the charges that are brought up against Christians for being against homosexuality are really the same ones that are being brought up against us for being against transgenderism. We're still being regarded as haters, homophobic, and on the wrong side of history and so on. So those are the same questions, and they have the same kinds of answers. So I would say the answer to your question is yes, even though the words transgender and so on do not appear very often in the book.
Right. Same principles, same biblical responses, same love, same truth. All right. We're going to have time for a couple more calls on the other side of the break. We've got just a few more minutes with Tom Gilson. Parents, get the book. Pastors, leaders, get the book. Critical Conversations. This is specific, practical guidance, conversations to have with your teenagers about homosexuality.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Hey, if you are just tuning in, another quick mention, if you're listening in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm speaking right at the beginning of a rally for Senator Ted Cruz. Benham Brothers will be there too. Pastor Mark Harris will be there. And Senator Ted Cruz, the main attraction, of course, we're just the hors d'oeuvres leading up to that. 5 o'clock today, 5 o'clock sharp at Central Baptist Church in Kannapolis. That's a little bit north of Charlotte off of exit 63. I know you're listening to me all over the country and in different nations, but if you are local to the Charlotte area, we'll be there 5 o'clock today, Central Baptist Church, a rally for Senator Ted Cruz. 866-348-7884. My guest, Tom Gilson, his new book, Critical Conversations. All right, let's just cover a little bit more ground before we're done. What about God, the Bible? What about the objection, hey, God made me this way, so how could it be wrong?
Well, God didn't make them that way. We are created in God's image, according to Genesis, and yet we fell. And we ended up going in all kinds of different directions from there with all kinds of different flaws. And so how could it be wrong? It could be wrong because of the fall. It's that
got
simple.
Got it. So there are a million different attitudes, desires, issues, unclean things that are found in a million different people. And if we say, why did God make me this way? Well, the person who's a kleptomaniac could ask that question.
Sure.
Just go down the list. And for some people, as long as they can remember, they struggled in some areas. Does that mean God made them that way?
And does that mean it's right? The original sin means that we've got a problem that we started with, and it comes out in different forms with different people, but it's still a problem. And it's a problem for which Christ came and gave his life on a cross. So there is an answer to it. But the answer is not to say, well, it was wrong. It wasn't wrong in the first place. The answer is to say that it was wrong and there's grace and forgiveness through Christ.
Right, exactly. And look, to expose how silly the argument is, well, God may be gay, what if somebody said, well, God may be homophobic? What if someone said, I've always had a fear and hatred of gays and a desire to beat them up? Well, would anyone in their right mind say, well, God made you that way and it's good? So just because you felt a certain way, right, what does that prove?
Well, that's a great example of the way that so many of these arguments can just be turned on their heads. I'm a hater because I disagree with you, you say. Well, you disagree with me, so you're a hater too.
Right, exactly.
Let's just change the way we're talking about this and put that all behind, because it's the only reason these arguments are winning is because of repetition, loud repetition by people who in the media and so on, who tend to have some kind of credibility. It's not because the argument has credibility.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to tirelessly repeat the truth and continue to get the truth out. All right, let me throw one last one at you. And again, friends, there, the last almost 100 pages of the book is just answering question after question or responding to arguments. You're against equality. You're a bigot. Christians just want to discriminate against gays. We can't help who we love, so why not let us love them? I mean, clear answers. And again, parents, these are written in such a way that you'll be able to digest this, understand it, and then communicate with your teens. Because even if your teen's not struggling with this area personally, they have a friend who is. Or they wonder why we're so bigoted and closed-minded. All right, let's throw out one more. Tom, just stop imposing your religious beliefs on us. This is not a theocracy. Stop imposing your beliefs on us.
Well, by the way, thank you for making it clear that this is parent-friendly. Stop imposing your beliefs on us. Well, why should I stop imposing my belief on you? Is it your belief that I should stop imposing my belief on you? Then you're imposing that on me. That's one answer to it. It's in the same category we were just talking about where you can turn it on its head. But the other thing is that we're not doing anything in our culture that isn't perfectly normal in a democracy. We vote. We speak out on the internet. We speak out in personal conversations. And it's a democratic process. Now, whether it was a democratic process when the court decided on it last summer is another question. But what we're doing is we're just taking part in the same discussion that everybody else is, and we have the right to do that.
Right, so what we are not doing, we are not marching down the street with a cross and then setting it up in the town center and saying, we don't care what the court says, we don't care what the government says, we are ordering every one of you to submit to our beliefs, and if you don't, you're going to be shot. If you don't show up in church on Sunday, and if we find any alcohol in your home, you're going to be shot. You know, that would be some absurd, crazed, perverted Ku Klux Klan type mentality. All we're saying is, hey, we believe that marriage should be the way it's always been, and that's in the best interest of family and kids and society. So we're going to advocate for that in the public square.
Sure.
And you go ahead and you advocate for your views and let the best view prevail. That's
right.
All. And if your beliefs are fueled by atheism, if they're fueled by pragmatism, if they're fueled by Christianity, if they're fueled by Hinduism, hey, it's a democratic republic. Advocate for your views and let the best view prevail.
That's the idea.
Tom, have you gotten, just got a minute, have you gotten responses from others? You've got some great endorsements here from Alex McFarland and Alan Schlaman and Jay Richards, some of these good friends of mine. Have you gotten response from, just on the practical level, parents or others that have looked at the book and given you a response to it?
What I've gotten has been so far the response of parents saying, I'm so glad there's this book. I need to read it. The one parent whose daughter came home from Bible study and said, Mom, I am so happy. I just found out from my Bible study leader that same-sex marriage isn't wrong, according to the Bible, after all. And, of course, the mom wasn't pleased to hear that. In fact, what she said was, I didn't know what to say. I freaked out. I hit the ceiling. And this book is for parents who face that kind of thing and want to respond well, don't want to be in a position of freaking out, do want to know what to say. That's the kind of response I'm getting so far that makes me really glad that I've been able to help with those kinds of hard situations parents can get into.
Yeah, I'm so glad, and your level-headedness comes through. Again, the book really reflects your heart, compassion, and love for the truth and level-headedness, and it does fill a void. So, Tom, I'm thrilled it's out. And I wish you the blessing of God and great success in the distribution of the book in the years ahead.
And thank you for your support and your encouragement in this.
You got it. My joy. My joy. All right, friends, be sure to visit the website and check out our very special resource offer. You will be blessed. My bottom line today, there is no substitute for speaking the truth in love. Lives will be changed. We're going to tell you today how you can hit the bullseye.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
30 minutes from now, I'm going to be joined by my dear friend and colleague of many years, Larry Tomczak, who's got a great plan of attack to help equip you on a daily basis to hit the bullseye, to understand major cultural issues, many of them from a biblical viewpoint, through video, through writing, and then for you to be equipped to speak to the world, to speak to other believers, to understand clearly for yourself. So that's 30 minutes from now. And 2 hours from now, I'm scheduled to open up a rally for Senator Ted Cruz in Kannapolis, North Carolina. That's a little bit north of Charlotte, North Carolina. If you're in the area here, where I'll be speaking, opening up this rally, and Senator Cruz will be speaking. It's right off exit 63 of Route 85, Interstate 85. At Central Baptist Church in Kannapolis. Central Baptist Church in Kannapolis. So, if you can join me there, 5 o'clock. If you show up at 7, the rally will have long since been over. 5 o'clock today. I encourage you to be there. I've got some opening remarks that I think will stir the waters some. David Jason Benham will be bringing a brief word, as well as Pastor Mark Harris and Larry Pittman, a local congressman, and then the main course, Senator Cruz, will be speaking. So I just found out about this last night, that it was happening, and we were able to schedule it in to be there. So join me if you can, 866-348-7884. I've got this next half hour to discuss a bunch of different things with you. And if you listened to the debate yesterday with Theodore Shubat, a debate that I found very troubling, as he said, quote, that he had no problem with the Orthodox Jew in Israel stabbing people at a gay pride event in Jerusalem on 2 different occasions. He was so fanatically committed to this that after getting out of jail for his first offense, he then went right back, stabbed again, and of course is back in jail. He had no problem with that. He sung the praises of the Inquisition and the Crusades. Yeah, I know there were certain aspects of the Crusades that could be seen as justifiable, where Christian nations were now seeking to take back land that Muslims had taken from them, and there were atrocities committed against Christians. I understand that. But very distressing to hear these things and that kind of rhetoric. We have everything videotaped, and God willing, within a few days, we'll have that up for you so that you can watch, not just listen to, but watch the debate. And the big thing really is, who is the Jesus of the New Testament? Yes, he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. That's true. Yes, all this will happen. Yes, there is wrath to come. Yes, Jesus warned about the destruction of Jerusalem. But the Son of God didn't come into the world to condemn, but to save. And if you remember in Luke, the 9th chapter, when the Samaritans would not accommodate Jesus and the disciples, they asked him, hey, should we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? No, that's not why he was here. He came to die for the sins of the world, not to destroy sinners. So while we absolutely stand for righteousness in our city, while we absolutely stand for godly standards in our schools, while we absolutely oppose those things that we find contrary to what is wholesome and good, we do it while loving individuals, and we do it without taking the law into our own hands and thinking that's the way to combat these things. All right, if you want to weigh in on that or any other relevant subject with me, want to discuss something I've recently said or written or put on video, 866-348-7884. Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Haganah, this is Israeli Defense Force. On April 22nd, at the height of the fighting in Haifa, it distributed an Arabic language circular noting its ongoing campaign to clear the city of all criminal foreign bands so as to allow the restoration of peace and security and good neighborly relations among all of the town's inhabitants. We implore you again to keep your women, children, and the elderly from the dangerous places, read the circular. This is to the Arab population of Haifa. And to keep yourselves away from gang bases that are still subjected to our retaliatory action. We do not wish to shed the innocent blood of the city's peace-loving inhabitants.
That is from my lecture, Is Israel an Evil Occupier? Eye-opening with PowerPoint presentation delivered at the University of South Florida when we couldn't find anyone to debate me on the subject. It's over 2 hours along with Q&A. This week you can order that, plus my two-hour-plus debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, my dear friend Shmuley, on the Real Kosher Jesus, moderated by Sid Roth, along with a two-hour-plus debate with a Reform rabbi who barely believed the Bible was the Word of God. That was a wild debate. That's over 6 hours of material, normally $60 for all the DVDs. We've cut the price in half this week. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Take advantage of that. Great resources. You'll be blessed, and you'll be able to bless and help others in the process. All right, to the phones. We start in Boston, Massachusetts. George, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I'm just calling because I was online and reading comments from Pastor Jeffress from Dallas,
yes.
And I became infuriated. And so, but then I came across your open letter on charisma, and you hit the nail right on the head. And I'm glad someone came out to speak against what he had to say. And to me, that's the sign of the apostasy going on in America. And it just kind of surprises me that a Baptist minister would support him. I mean, I'm totally behind Ted Cruz like yourself, and I can't comprehend why he would say those things, and I have a clear conscience before God that me voting for Ted Cruz is the absolute, right thing to do.
Yeah, well, George, first, thanks for the good words. I'm glad the article functioned as a voice for you. Now, I wrote the article not because I was telling Pastor Jeffress you shouldn't support Ted Cruz. It did Donald Trump, rather. It did surprise me that he did that. He's a highly respected Baptist minister. He's got a very large church in Texas. He is a fearless spokesman for the truth before the secular media as well and on Christian TV. So I've got great respect for him, very gentle in spirit and attitude when he speaks. I wrote the open letter because he questioned very strongly anyone not voting for Donald Trump if Trump got the nomination, saying that if Trump got the nomination and you didn't vote for him, it wasn't principle, it was pride. His words, not principle, but pride. And even said, if you let Hillary Clinton get in, there's a word that God has for that in the Bible. It's called fools. So I felt that was thoroughly out of character. And it's one thing if he feels like through this he has access to Donald Trump to speak the gospel to him and so on. Hey, bring the message to him. I would not endorse him to bring the message to him. I would just bring the message to him. But when he is now going to say that those who would not vote for Donald Trump, if he were elected, in other words, the never Trump crowd, and to say it's pride versus principle, no, that was completely out of line. There are people who say, look, if it's the lesser of two evils, I'm still voting for evil. I can't in conscience vote for a man who I think might be a disaster for our country. You say, well, it's either him or Hillary. Well, we're not there yet. First, we're not there. That's number one. And number two, many people say, even if it is Trump versus Hillary, I can't vote for either in good conscience before God. And that has to be honored. That, look, just like if an evangelical says, I believe Trump is the man for the job, I know he's not a Christian, but I just feel he's the man for the job, or I prayed about it. Hey, I differ with that, but go for it. Just don't say that if others can't vote for him, that they're therefore operating on pride, not principle. That was a very odd thing, a very unfortunate thing for Pastor Jeffress to say. And, of course, one that will cause many people to question how he could say that. That being said, let's forget everything about Donald Trump's past. Let's forget the casinos. Let's forget the strip club. Let's forget the boasting about adulteries. Let's forget the three marriages. Let's forget all of it, okay? Right now, from one day to the next, you don't know what he's going to say or believe. He could say one thing today and completely contradict it the next. That deeply concerns me. He's saying one day he's going to order the military to break all international and national law and kill the families of terrorists intentionally and torture people illegally, and you better believe they're going to listen to him. Then he reverses it, and then he comes out with another stance days later. How do you vote for someone like that? So, yes, by all means, I will continue to sound the alarm and raise concerns. If Senator Cruz was not running, I would still be raising concerns about Donald Trump. But thank you, George. And listen, we're here to be your voice. So thank you for the call, and I'm glad that it helped get things off your chest. Hey, I just got this email yesterday. Hello, Dr. Brown, from an old friend, she and her husband. Today, as I read your open letter to Pastor Jeffress, I just had to take a moment to thank you for being his voice and the voice of multitudes of believers. Over and over, day after day, as I read your many articles, open letters, social media posts, and more, I thank God for you and for the platform God has given you in this critical hour, not only to be his mouthpiece, but to be our mouthpiece. Friends, that's why we do what we do. That's why I'm on the air. That's why I'm introduced each day as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So stand with us, friends. We are listener-sponsored. Become a torchbearer today. Join our support team, and together we'll make a massive difference. So go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. This is why we do what we do, to be your voice. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Donate, and I want to thank you in advance for your great help. 866-348-7884. We go to the Bronx, New York. Humberto, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mr. Brown, how are you? How's everything?
Real well. Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment. First of all, Mr. Brown, every day when I listen to your show, I hear you like a little cough going, that's something that needs to be checked. Take care of yourself, man.
Now, here's the deal. I struggled with a cough because of constant talking and traveling and speaking for a few years, and then it went away entirely for a good period of time. And then when my voice just got a little stressed, it came back a little, but first I take great care of myself, eat super healthily, exercise, and I think we're about towards the end of this one. Just a little extra stress on the voice. Sometimes, you know, climate change and things like that as I'm traveling. But thank you for the concern, and hopefully we're about done with it now. But thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Mr. Brown, yesterday when I was listening to you, a scripture came up to mind, Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. But 15 says, truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Of course, he was talking about the city that rejected his message. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus is talking about that it will be more tolerable for those two cities that were destroyed on the day of judgment? So, and then, you know, I'm saying to myself, you know, the way that you talk to these people, you know, the human being, you bring the gospel to them and then you let them choose. But you don't go around killing people just because, you know, who they are. And, I mean, unless they cause you defend yourself, if they're trying to do harm to you. But, you know, the way that he was coming across that, you know, that he sounds like he's almost like a duty, a Christian duty to kill homosexuals.
Yeah,
and
look, that's a verse I had in my head, but I didn't mention. There were so many things I wanted to say in the intensity of the interaction. I say intensity because of the fearful and ugly things that were being said by Theodore. The fact is that, yeah, here there was guilt. Jesus said greater guilt than the guilt of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Because they saw the Son of God in action. They saw the miracles. They had greater guilt than Sodom and Gomorrah, but he didn't destroy those cities. He didn't start calling down fire on Capernaum. He didn't start calling down fire on Bethsaida. He didn't start calling down fire on these other cities. He was not there to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then when he sent his disciples out, he didn't send them out with a conquering sword. That's why so many were persecuted. And when they got persecuted and jailed, they didn't go and blow up the jail. You know, they didn't come and slaughter the soldiers and the guards to get the people out. So in that respect, although, yes, we flee, Jesus said if they persecute one city, flee to another. And yes, self-defense, if your family's attacked, is another matter. We are militant, committed, uncompromising, but we're lambs. We are lambs in that respect. And that's how we overcome. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Puerto Rico. Michael, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Yes, I wanted to comment on my opinion of why there's liberal morals in the church and in society, and I believe that the reason there's all this liberalism in morality is the theological foundations of that is the whole finished work versus sanctification doctrines. And if you look at people like Joseph Prince and so forth, they teach a finished work. And mentioning real briefly about what sanctification is basically a consecrated thought life. And if we have a consecrated thought life, like Madame Guyon taught and that inspired John Wesley and then now Joyce Meyer, she teaches the consecrated thought life, and Christians don't realize that they can live this life and walk in the blessing of God through a consecrated thought life. And that's the reason that the finished work is thrown off of the doctrine of sanctification. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, what it is, and I'll explain this so everyone can follow if they missed any of that, it is a misunderstanding of the finished work of the cross. Of course, what Jesus did is perfect and complete. Of course, nothing needs to be added to it, meaning there's nothing more that Jesus needs to do. When you get into John's gospel in the 19th chapter, it tells us that Jesus, knowing that everything that the Father had given him had been completed, everything the Father had given him to do was finished, was completed. This is in John, the 19th chapter. This is hanging on the cross. Jesus then says, it is finished. So I want people to just first hear this connection. Everyone's familiar with the words John 19:30, it is finished. But what they often don't know is that in John 18:28, the exact same Greek word found only in this form here in these two verses in John, after this, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, John 19:28, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I'm thirsty. Verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. So Jesus did everything he needed to do for our salvation when he hung on the cross and died. And then, of course, subsequently rose from the dead. There's nothing that needs to be added to that as far as what Jesus did. Now, what if we don't believe in him? Well, then we miss out on the benefits of what he did. If we don't believe in him, if we don't believe in what he did, then we perish, right? So some people say, well, no, everything he did on the cross, it's finished. You don't even need to believe. There are some people who say, everyone, the whole world is ultimately going to be saved because Jesus, whether they believe or not, because Jesus did the finished work. That's not what it means. It means he finished everything that needed to be done and purchased our salvation on the cross. So whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. So we all recognize that in that sense, we have to respond to what he did. The hypergrace teachers say the moment you're saved, because Jesus did it all, there's nothing you can add to it or grow into. The moment you're saved, you are not only completely forgiven, you are forgiven for the rest of your life. All the sins you're going to commit in the future, God already has pronounced you forgiven. They also say the moment you're saved, you are now made completely holy. You are 100% sanctified the moment you are saved. That's what they say. That's what they teach. Now, of course, it's completely unscriptural. For example, 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us that we should cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And there are other verses that talk about us growing in holiness, or Hebrews 12:14 that tells us to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So we the moment we're saved, we are set apart as holy, 1 Corinthians 6:11. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So the moment we're saved, God sets us apart as holy. Now he says, 1 Peter 1, be holy in all you do. Now that you've been set apart as holy, be holy, grow in holiness, walk in holiness. How? By the same grace that saved you. Now that grace is going to empower you to live a holy life. And then ultimate, complete sanctification, when we see him, we'll become like him, never to sin again, never to have temptation to sin, because we will be glorified with Jesus. That's what we look forward to. So salvation is past, it's present, it's future. There are hyper-grace teachers who say that if you hold to that view, then that is a spiritually murderous lie. Those are the exact words of Pastor Clark Whitten. It is a spiritually murderous lie to say that sanctification is progressive. No, unfortunately, his words are dangerous words and misleading words and words that can destroy many. Why? Because if you believe that you are perfectly holy, and forever forgiven no matter what you do, and the Holy Spirit will never convict you of sins, ever, right? Then whatever you do, however you live, you're still in, and when the Holy Spirit's convicting you, you say, that's not the Spirit, that's just my own thoughts, or that's just the devil. That's dangerous, dangerous. And I dealt with it extensively in my book, Hyper Grace, but I've got a new book that'll be out in less than 2 months called The Grace Controversy, where I take about 12 or 13 of the most common questions. Is grace a person? Does the Holy Spirit still convict us of sins? Is sanctification progressive? And in real, clear, biblical language, simple for everyone to understand, I lay these things out. It's an entirely separate book from Hyper Grace. If you liked Hyper Grace, you'll love The Grace Controversy. If you never got Hyper Grace, this is a great place to start. The Grace Controversy, due out in May. I think May 3rd is the release date. You'll find it eye-opening, practical, life-changing, and best of all, it'll ground you in grace. It'll help you understand that, okay, you didn't have a good day today. You told the Lord you're going to pray an hour in the morning and you slept in. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're going to hell for that. I've had a bad attitude towards my boss and I'm struggling with it. Well, God doesn't condemn you. He's here to help you to love your boss. Last night I fell asleep and I forgot to confess a sin. What if I died in my sleep? Do I go to hell? I address those issues to ground people in the grace of God and ground it there to call them to holy living. So that book will be out in a couple months. Right now you can also get the Hyper Grace book. That's a bit more theological, and it quotes lots of the hyper-grace teachers. The Grace Controversy virtually doesn't quote any. I just deal with the issues there. All right, we come back. I'm going to be joined by my friend Larry Tomczak, longtime friend, colleague, is a best-selling author. He's a cultural commentator. And Ellen DeGeneres went after him last year. Isn't that amazing? He's going to tell you how to hit the bullseye when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's face it. There's a lot going on in the world today. There are a lot of major issues, cultural issues, moral issues. How do you keep track of everything? How do you respond to all the challenges? How can you be biblical and yet compassionate? And who has time to research every area of cultural conflict, figure out a Christian response, figure out how to articulate it, and then the next day have get ready for another area and issue? Well, that's why God raises up his servants in the body to help equip. It's the role of ministry to help equip you to do the work of ministry. It's the role of leaders to equip you to do the work of ministry. And my friend and colleague for many years, Larry Tomczak, has just done that with a brand new program he's put out that combines video with articles found in a book with clear lessons, and you can go through one a day so that you can hit the bullseye, being biblically accurate in a decaying culture. Larry, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, Mike, my dear buddy of 3.5 decades, it's an honor to be with you, and I mean that. And you know what? This book initiative is dedicated to 12 people that are champions, and you are one of them, and I honor you. People say we're generals, but you're the 4-star general, brother, and I'm honored to be able to share today about our initiative, a 30-day challenge, 15 minutes a day, so you become an informed influencer on the controversial issues we face today. So thanks for letting me come on the show.
Oh, yeah, my joy. Hey, listen, I don't mind being one of the 12 that you dedicate the book to and that you honor. Just don't tell me what somebody told me a few years ago, that I was one of the 2 witnesses in the book of Revelation that we had a bit of a hard time with. So I'll be one of the 12 generals. Hey, Larry, in all seriousness, this is a great idea. Literally 15 minutes a day, and that's not going super fast and rushing things. 15 minutes a day, people can be equipped. They can be influencers. They can be informed influencers. Before we tell them where to go and how to find out about this, what are some of the issues that you cover in this 30-day Bullseye program?
Well, Mike, everyone listen up now, please, because I'll start with this. Colossians 4, 5 and 6 says, be wise in the way you relate to outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. And then it says this, so you know how you ought to answer everyone. So that's the directive. All of us listening today, we want to answer people when these issues come up. And so what are the issues? Well, again, this is a 30-day program, basically. Marijuana legalization, Islam, gay marriage, transgenderism. How about gay Christians living together, sexting, abortion, income inequality, immigration? I mean, there's 30 of the hot-button issues, Mike, that you and I try to help people understand, have a biblical worldview. And what the initiative is this. Everyone listening, all you're going to do is this. You're going to do this. You start out, you click on the video. They're already on the website. Now, you can go there right now. Review a video for 3 minutes. Then you read the commentary, the article for 10. And then you reflect and pray for 2 minutes. And if you'll take, everyone listening, 15 minutes for 30 days, honestly, I can guarantee you are going to hit the mark and become an informed influencer in the culture today. You'll have confidence. You'll be able to speak and engage people on issues with the election. These things come up, conversations that come up. And Mike, you and I, our passion is to help people so that when they're out there in the marketplace, whether it's a parent homeschooling or in your neighborhood, at school, anywhere, when topics come up, you're not tongue-tied, but you have a Christ-like confidence to winsomely address these. So we're directing people to this, and honestly, I don't know. All I can say is let's get people on board so we do this together. Take the Bullseye Challenge for 30 days.
All right, friends, we come back. I'll tell you exactly where to go to take the Bullseye Challenge.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking with best-selling author, cultural commentator Larry Tomczak, talking about his Bullseye Challenge, 15 minutes a day, 30 days, to get equipped on the issues from immigration to abortion to homosexuality. 30 days, 866-348-7884. If you've got a question for Larry Tomczak, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Larry, first, where do people go to take the Bullseye Challenge?
All right, Mike, thank you. Write it down, everybody. This is important. BullseyeChallenge.com. That's simply BullseyeChallenge.com. Don't apostrophe, nothing. Run it through .com, and you'll see. There's the videos. You could start right after the broadcast when Mike's finished today on his program, and then right to the right, today's the release date for the book today, and it'll say Amazon. You can order it, and you'll get it, what, in 2 days? You'll have your handbook, your manual, your it'll be right there at your door. Then you click on the videos and just start. Go for 30 days. And, you know, Mike, I got to tell you this. I've been gone 13 days. It's been rare. But the National Religious Broadcasters and then 1,500 at the Awakening Conference in Orlando Saturday. And then a roundtable prophetic gathering, Mike Bickle and Rick Joyner and Ricky Skaggs. The word coming through in this hour is our nation is in peril. We've got to equip our people, and we've got to be confident to speak and engage winsomely on these topics that are out there today. So BullseyeChallenge.com, go there today, and let's get started on this journey so you'll hit the mark on these hot-button issues of today.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the website right now, BullseyeChallenge.com, looking at your smiling face, and you said a key word there, well, many key words, but one was confident. Confidence.
Yes.
If I'm not confident, I'm going to avoid an issue. Hey, let's say that I have 10 callers that I'm looking at on my screen, or 5 callers I'm looking at on my screen, and they each have a question for me, right? And I see that 4 of those questions are areas that I've researched for years and I know in my sleep, and the 5th one is something I don't have the slightest clue. Well, I want to get to everybody if I can. But the one that I'm most reluctant to talk to is that last one because I don't have an answer. And you know, my ancient language is Biblical Hebrew. I'm strong in that. But I'm not a modern Hebrew speaker. I can speak a little, but I'm far, 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 far from fluent. So if I know there's an Israeli who wants to talk to me and they can only speak Hebrew, I'm avoiding it because I'm afraid I'm going to miss what they're saying. I won't be able to answer them well. So that's a big reason that we don't get involved, because we're just not confident that we have we know our position's right, but we don't know how to articulate it. So we avoid the marketplace of ideas. Isn't that true?
Mike, that's right on the money. And everyone listening, think of this. Living together, that's one of the topics. Cohabitation. Do you know that USA Today did a poll among 18 to 31-year-olds, 76% said living together is fine. In other words, a lifestyle of fornication is fine. And what we want to do is you go to the BullseyeChallenge.com, click on Living Together, 3 minutes. There's the video. Watch that 3-minute video. And then once you get the book, order it, and you get it, you'll have an amplified 10 minutes to read, and then you pray and process it. Then when somebody talks about living together, oh, these celebrities, they're living together, you'll be able to winsomely draw them out, and then we want to turn things, obviously, to the gospel, because these are a bridge, these topics today, that can lead us where there's such hunger. Somebody told me this morning 100,000 people gathered for Greg Laurie out there in Texas. It shows there's such hunger. My daughter's in Iceland right now. She gave a message. People responding, coming forward. Why? People are confused. There's deception. But, Mike, you and I are giving the resource, the tool, BullseyeChallenge.com. Come on, folks, get on board. Let's go this journey together. You'll be changed. You'll hit the mark.
All right. So listen, again, you've got videos that address this. Then they read the article. So that's a chapter in the Bullseye Challenge book. Again, you can just order the book on Amazon. Easier to spell Bullseye than Tomczak, right? A lot of people have a hard time spelling your last name, Tomczak. Let's throw out a controversial subject. How do we have a biblical perspective on the issue of immigration. I mean, that's a thorny issue. They'll have to get the book to get all the info, but let's give some tidbits here.
All right. Well, that's a great one. Somebody says, hey, you're a Christian. Jesus said I was a stranger. You took me in. That is true. But the other side of the coin, and this is where we're going to equip you so you'll be confident to address this, is you say, well, you know, the scriptures tells us also we're to be subject to governing authorities. And you say, well, what about when the governing authorities don't enforce the laws? Well, that's wrong. But then we say this, you know, if you have a lifeboat and it says capacity 10 and you fill it with 30, everybody goes down. And what we want to do is recognize there are some limitations. And as I think it's Ann Coulter said, if the bathroom is, you know, the bathtub's running over, you don't get little sponges and just wipe it up on the corners. You turn off the water. And so today, with terrorism, national security, our $19 trillion debt, we've got to be compassionate but also responsible with immigrants. And my dad was an immigrant. So if anybody says Larry's against immigrants, no, my dad came here from Poland. But he came the right way. And if you get in line today at the food court and you're waiting to get your pizza and all of a sudden somebody barges in, it doesn't follow what they're supposed to, you'd be upset. And so today we've got to do things in a decent and orderly way, loving people, welcoming them, but also saying there is a pathway, and that's what we want to do. So, Mike, I mean, I hit it real quick, but that's one of the topics. They can go there, bullseyechallenge.com, click on immigration. It's, you'll see it, and I guarantee you, they're compelling videos with truth to set people free.
Yeah, and you've got a gift of communicating clearly, forthrightly, with compassion, always with a biblical base, always remembering that God loves people. You had written something a little ways back, and next thing you find out that, of all people, Ellen DeGeneres is taking 4 or 5 minutes on her massively watched TV show to go after one of the nicest guys I know, Larry Tomczak. How did that happen?
Well, Mike, that's perfect. And if you're curious listening, those of you, when you go to bullseyechallenge.com, there's an introductory video. Right before those 30 little three-minute videos, there's an introductory video. And that you'll see Ellen when she's coming after me, and she's saying, oh, I have no agenda, just love and be kind. And then I respond with a video response. And I honor you, Mike, because you screened that for me. I ran it by you, and you said, tweak this a little bit. We got it right. And what I'm saying is, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And we want to make sure we're charitable. So, you know, those of you that say, oh, I'd like to see that, go to bullseyechallenge.com, click right there, the intro video, and you'll see how I tried to respond to her in a charitable way without compromising the word of God. So Ellen DeGeneres, we love her. She's a gifted person. But the deception that comes through her influencing millions of people has got to be countered by ambassadors who are salt and light, bringing truth in a winsome way. And that's what you and I, Mike, and all of us listening today are saying, amen, I want to hit the mark. I want to know how to answer everyone, as Colossians 4:5-6 tells us.
All right, so friends, again, bullseyechallenge.com is the place to go. You can watch the videos for free there, but then get the book that goes with the videos. That'll give you much, much more information, ammunition. But I want our listeners to know just a little bit more about the unusual life that you've lived, Larry. You wrote a book some years ago called Divine Appointments, which among your friends, we said that's kind of like the story of Larry's life. So it didn't surprise me when you mentioned Ellen in the midst of an article. It was not an article about Ellen. Many people write, you know, Christian articles to Ellen DeGeneres or whatever. You just mentioned her in passing, yet she talks about you on the air. And the next thing, Anderson Cooper is talking about you, and you just use as a platform from the gospel. But you've had this fascinating life where you've just run into people. Many years ago, we were at an airport together in California, in Anaheim, I think. We were in an airport together there, a rare time when we got to hang out in the midst of busy schedules many years ago. I walk away for a few minutes. I come back, and you're witnessing to two Supreme Court justices, that Thurgood Marshall and Byron Mitchell. They're sitting there with their wives. I'm like, that's the story of Larry's life. You find these people, they find you. You've run into people. It's not like you went looking for someone somewhere. You just have run into people. Like who?
Well, I'll tell you. Right where I'm sitting right now, I'd say 5 minutes away, I ran into Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban. And I was prepared. I knew they were having another baby, and so I gave them a copy of a book that I wrote on training your children. But see, you know, Mike, whether it's Charlton Heston, I saw him and talked to him, or whether it's Jay Leno in an airport in Burbank, I'm prepared. I believe my steps are ordered by the Lord. I'm prepared every day. I'm believing for these appointments to share and interact with people. And then, no matter who they are, if there's some high-profile celebrity like Elizabeth Taylor, or if it's just the beautiful lady that's cleaning my room in a motel. And we want people prepared. And that's what Bullseye Challenge is all about. Come on, folks. Go to bullseyechallenge.com and get started today.
All right. In fact, I'm going to come back with an interesting divine appointment that involves friends of mine and Larry.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. All right, I've got about five more minutes with my dear friend Larry Tomczak. You say, man, he sounds excited, enthusiastic. That's Larry. That's who he is. That's what God has done in his life. So just a quick divine appointment story. My radio and video producer, Matt, prior to that was working at a mall and working with Israelis at a mall, sharing the gospel with one young lady. So she ended up meeting me around Christmas time and got to hear the gospel more, got to hear from his Israeli believer that was with us. And then she moves to Nashville. And she's working in Nashville, and who does she meet in Nashville but Larry Tomczak? Here's someone we're reaching out to with the gospel, and boom, next thing, Larry's sharing the good news. Friends, bullseyechallenge.com, go there. And listen, Larry, I'm not just saying this because we're friends, but there are issues you address that I need some equipping on because I haven't focused on them. And if someone calls, I'll do my best to give a solid answer and think it through together with them. But in the 30-day challenge, so they go to the website, bullseyechallenge.com. They watch a video. They click on the video. It's free. And how long is the video going to be?
They're 3 minutes. There's an introductory one that's longer, but they're 3 minutes. They're bite-sized. This is 15 minutes for 30 days. That's all. It's the chapter, the video, and pray.
All right. So 3 minutes to watch the video. Then they get the book, bullseyechallenge.com. They read one chapter a day. And you say 10 minutes. That's a generous 10 minutes. So they read 10 minutes. That'll supplement the video. And
yes.
Then they reflect on the things for a couple of minutes. And then you say, how am I going to remember it all? Hey, it's all there. It's all there,
right,
to go back to. So we talked about immigration. Abortion is obviously something you address. What are some of the other issues that you address in the 30-day challenge?
Well, social justice, gay marriage, Islam, marijuana legalization, transgenderism.
All right, stop. All right, marijuana legalization. Why,
yeah.
Isn't this just like the prohibition era and you're just trying to impose your values on others? I mean, where do you stand on this?
Well, I would simply say, number one, we obey governing authorities. If you're in a state that it's illegal, which it should be, you obey the authorities. That's out. Number two, as a Christian, you honor God with your body. You don't pollute yourself with this kind of intoxicant. Jesus on the cross refused intoxicants. He wouldn't take it. And then when people say, oh, it's harmless, doesn't do. Hey, let me tell you this. That lady about a month or so back in was it Las Vegas, that slammed into a crowd. She was driving, killed somebody, maimed 35 people. Afterwards, what'd they say? Oh, she was high on marijuana. Folks, it's dangerous as a substance. We don't want to go down these kind of paths. So, Mike, I know that's quick, but, man, there is a video. They can go there right when we get off the air today. Go there, bullseyechallenge.com. Click on marijuana legalization. 3 minutes. Then as soon as you can, order the book right there, Amazon, and then you'll go into this as an initiative on a journey so that we, as we say, hit the mark. You'll be on target and not intimidated to raise issues or discuss this as you engage people for the Lord.
All right, one last question. Your daughter Melanie is actively involved in working with, excuse me, working with young people, working with kids that are struggling in her city. She's done that for a number of years. Your sons are young men that are active in different frontline areas of ministry and service. What is this young generation really needing? Is it just that they're not informed? Is it that they're not loved? Is it broken families? Is it that they're just too privileged? Is it, it's contrast from one part of society to another. In all your years of ministry, are things totally different today, or is it just a matter of new challenges, same answers?
Well, yeah, it is the same challenge, unchanging truth. But yes, there are greater challenges than ever before. As you have said, if you were Rip Van Winkle, fell asleep and woke up today, 30 years afterwards, it's shocking what's taking place. But you know what? It's interesting you said that. My daughter was really one of the key people as a catalyst for this book, because she worked at a ministry called Rocket Town with Michael W. Smith for 7 years, outreach director. She would come home and say, Dad, middle, high school, college age, they believe lesbianism is fine, gay marriage is fine, marijuana is fine, living. She said, Dad, how do we help them? I can't tell them, read this giant book. And that's when we thought, oh, if we could put videos, they love videos. And then maybe that would be a little teaser to draw them in. And well, here's a little more. And we could lead them on a journey to truth and liberation in Christ. So there's a generation surrounding us. But Psalm, I think 110 says that the youth are going to come like the dawn. And we're believing for that, Mike. You and I, a spiritual revolution. We're ambassadors for Christ. They've got a confidence. They're courageous. They are people of conviction, but they're also charitable. They're not mean-spirited and contentious. And that's what you and I try to live and model. And I trust it'll come through as all the wonderful listeners in the Line of Fire will get this book. That's your handbook to accompany the videos. BullseyeChallenge.com. Bullseye Challenge. Get started today, and let's go together on this journey.
All right, hey, I'm gonna check on some of these videos as well. Of course, I follow your articles and the great content that you produce. So, Larry, it is a joy to be so closely involved, working together these many years. I always enjoy time I get with you and your wife, Doris, and your wonderful kids. So we are moving forward, and it's not too late for America. In fact, this is the ripest time for awakening I've ever seen. So thanks for the good work. BullseyeChallenge.com. By the way, if you miss a day, then just keep going, all right? So this way,
yeah. No
pressure. Get the whole program, video, get the book, BullseyeChallenge.com. Larry, great talking to you. God bless you, buddy.
I love you. Thank you, Mike. Thanks to everybody. Bye-bye.
All right. So when Larry used to teach at our school in Pensacola many years ago, he stayed at a friend's home, and my friend had little kids at that time. And I said, hey, what's Larry like first thing in the morning getting up? He said, same, always the same. Same Larry, full of encouragement, full of joy, and always taking a personal interest in your life. So I'm so glad he's done this. I think you'll find it really valuable and helpful. BullseyeChallenge.com. While you're online, be sure to visit my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And have you checked out my latest articles? No? You haven't? Here I write till 2, 3, 4 in the morning to get these out the next day for you. Haven't checked them out? Check them out. Our videos, we work hard with our team to get out 2, 3, even more videos on a weekly basis to be a blessing to you. So check them out. We've got a couple of really exciting new videos coming out. Really, I mean, that'll, one, an incredible testimony that will just thrill your heart. You'll be so blessed by it, especially if you didn't hear the broadcast yesterday afternoon at this time, and then we we'll have the video up of my debate with Theodore Shubat over whether Jesus would have put homosexuals to death if he found them in the temple. So these are all resources for you, and then our special resource offer with two tremendous debates and a very important lecture at a real low price. Again, we make the resources available to you, and then you stand with us, and everyone's blessed together. My bottom line today, there's edifying, up-to-date information available for you. Get equipped and be a world changer.